Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
The title of tonight's message is Fully Trusting in God Produces God Results. And it's an important topic because I think each and every one of us can say this as we're getting ready probably this morning at some point, maybe yesterday, whatever, throughout the day, listening to the radio, put the news on. We got apps that are at our fingertips that we're constantly scrolling on, reading news, and whether it's social media, whatever the case may be, we're fully aware of everything that's going on in our world right now. Wars are continuing to pick up. Right? The Bible tells us that you'll know the end times because there'll be wars and rumors of wars. We hear about the tsunamis that take place and the earthquakes that continue to happen. And I truly believe that I will be here on this earth when the Lord comes back for his bride. But the reality is as I'm looking through and I'm seeing all of these things that are taking place, as we continue to see the prayer reports come in, and listen, all of us can be subject to this. The words come out of our mouth that we trust in God. But the problem with it is we don't fully trust him in every aspect of our life. There are areas that we continue to have guarded. There are areas that we continue to leave from being exposed. There are areas that we continue to have doubt and insecurity and worry. And so the problem is we submit ourselves too much to what's going on in the world instead of what's going on in what God said. And we see the wars that are taking place and we get discouraged, as if the Bible doesn't tell us these things are going to happen. We get bad reports from the doctors and we get discouraged because we forget about the fact that in order to be healed, we first need to get sick. We want to trust in God and our provision, and we want all these other things. But for the miracle to take place, the provision in our life, there's going to have to be a moment where you have to believe in some of the hardest times of your life. If we're believing for our prodigal children to come home, they first have to leave your house and go and explore the world. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be everybody's testimony, but the fact of the matter is each and every one of us has trials and tribulations that we're going to continue to face. We're seeing the inflation that continues to go on in our state. The money continues to be more tight. I mean, I can't believe sometimes that the cost of things. I think my wife and I were looking at this new apartment complex that opened up right down the street from our house, and it's like 55 and older community. It's got to be reasonably priced, right? Like, starting price was like $2,000 for a one-bedroom apartment. It's like, how are our kids going to do it? Those thoughts come in all of our minds. But that's why we need to understand that if we're going to fully trust in God, we will get the godly results. Now, as I was reading through the book of Isaiah this past week, it's funny, I had a scripture that I wanted to base the message off of. I was in all preparation, ready to start putting some notes together on Friday, and I just wasn't feeling it. It seemed like Vanessa, my assistant, she kept coming. She's like, why are you not studying? I was like, I'm not feeling it. I can't feel it right now. I don't want to deal with it. I need to move on. And as I was going through over the weekend and I started reading out of the book of Isaiah, again, a scripture just jumped out at me. And I'm like, ah, God, I see what you're doing. Because in the book of Isaiah, leading up to, we're going to be, for the majority of the night, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter number 31. So you can go ahead and turn there. And I think I'm going to finish off in Psalms 31 at the very end of the message. But in the book of Isaiah, here, the children of Israel find themselves getting ready to be attacked by the Assyrian army. And the problem with the Assyrian army is they were wiping people out. They were a big army. They were a strong army. And so the children of Israel are looking at this and they're going, I know what God said, but if we're going to survive, we're going to need some help. And so we're going to pick up in chapter number 31. And in chapter number 31, verse number 1, it says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses. Man, right there is this scripture. I had to go back and start it again. I'm like, wait a second. I need to put this in my spirit, because here's what happened. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. You know what's interesting is he doesn't just say, woe to those who go down to Egypt, and then stop. As if there was a problem seeking help. See, what I'm not here to do tonight is to say, listen, if you're sick, stop going to the doctor. Just trust in God, because the doctor can't help you. I'm not here to tell you that at all. I believe in doctors. I trust that they're good for us. And I just went to one the other day. So look, I'm not here to tell you that. I'm not here to say just sit at home and expect God to open up your bank account and flood you with money and you don't have to go to work. See, again, there's an application in each and every one of our lives and things that God has challenged us and called us to do. That he wants us to go to work, that he wants us to do the work of the ministry, that he wants us to be busy while we're here on earth, not sitting idly by just waiting for things to fall in our lap. When he calls us and says that we're healed, there's many ways that we're going to get healed. But see, what he says here is who rely on horses, who trust in chariots and horsemen who are strong. See, they're looking at Egypt and they say, we're too weak, but they got the strength. They're looking to Egypt and they say, well, look, we don't have that many, but they have a lot. So if we're going to be able to defend ourselves, because we know what Assyria is doing, they're taking over territory everywhere they go. So in order for us to be able to withstand the attacks that are getting ready to come at us, we're going to need to reach out for the true help, Egypt, instead of the true help, Jesus Christ. See, we find ourselves in this place. Again, it's not bad that we go to doctors, but my trust is not in the doctor. My trust is in the Lord. It's not bad that we go to work and we do it, but my security doesn't come from my job. My security comes from the Lord. See, I can't get discouraged when my children aren't doing what they're supposed to, because my promise doesn't come from the way that my children act. My promise comes from the Lord. See, every aspect of our life, we will find ourselves in a place where we're being challenged. And if we want the God results in our life, we need to focus on the one who has given us the promise in the first place. And understand that if he said it, so be it. It's going to get done. It may not look like it. I may not understand it. I may be too small. I may be too uneducated. I may not be strong enough. I may not know enough. I may not have all of it together. But listen, I don't put my hope in myself. I put my hope in the Lord. And I trust that if he said it, he's going to do it. Because again, too many times, we say, well, I know I'm healed. And we go to the doctor and we're expecting them to come and go, man, I don't know what happened. But from last Tuesday to today, everything that we thought that was going to be there is gone and there's nothing. Now that happens, but it doesn't always happen that way. Matter of fact, as we read through our Bible, many different ways that people were healed. And we cannot get discouraged because it doesn't happen. It's almost like here we are, we create this roadmap. And we say, God, here you go. Here's the instructions to how you're going to help me in order to receive the things that I'm saying you promised me. So get to it. Oh, by the way, God, you skip step number 3. So I either need you to go back or I'm going to throw this away, because otherwise it's not worth it. And we find ourselves in a place of discouragement, of frustration. I'm going to go on in verse number 2. He says, yet he also, capital H, speaking of the Lord, he also is wise and will bring disaster and does not retract his words. If God said it, it's done. He's not going back on what he said. He didn't make a mistake in what he said. He's not going to tell you, you know what, I planned on it, but I decided not to. If we fulfill what he's called us to do and do it his way, he will give us the promises that he promised us. We have to trust him. It says he will not retract his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. Verse number 3, now the Egyptians are men, not God. See, your doctor is a man, not God. Your banker is a man, not God. Your boss is a man, not God. Your children are men, not God. Your pastor is a man, not God. See, we get so discouraged based on the way man responds. But we're just men. Every single one of us in this room, listen, we're faulty. Doing our best to make sure that we live our lives according to the word of God, but we will make mistakes, I guarantee it. But where is our trust? He says, look, stop putting your trust in a man. He goes on. And he says, and those horses are flesh, not spirit. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the powers of darkness. We are not in a fleshly war, but we're in a spiritual war. So why are we trying to fight a spiritual war with fleshly weapons? Why are we looking for the world to have the answers to God's kingdom? See, God's doing something in his land. And so we should be seeking him, understanding, because he says these horses, nothing but flesh. Guess what? They're going to die too. By the way, I was there in the beginning, and I'm going to be there in the end. I ain't going anywhere. So you should be seeking me, not the horses, not the man. So the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. He says, if you're seeking help from man, guess what? You're going to fall right alongside with them. They're going to fall. And you will too. Because you put your trust in a man. You put your trust in flesh. You put your trust in a faulty system instead of in the Lord. So we're going to talk about some things today. How do I get my eyes off of what I see and on to what he says? First thing that we're going to talk about today is we need to understand that God is not moved by the noise. Man, we live in a world, there's a lot of noise. We hear God, and then we turn on the news, noise. We talk to our friends, noise. We hear the thoughts that try to come into our mind, noise. And we allow the noise to get louder than the voice of God because it makes more sense to us. This is more natural. This I can see how this plays out. I can't see how God's plan is going to play out. We pretend like when God gave us a promise that he forgot to watch CNN. Because if he would have saw, now I'm not just going to pick on CNN, I'll Fox News or, you know, Newsmax. Sorry, Steve, we'll talk about Newsmax too. All of it. Here's the thing. What do we believe? Do we believe the word of God? Or do we believe the media? You know, the enemy's come to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that, right? We live in it. If the deception first came from a snake, we don't think he's going to use people out there in the world to try to deceive us. And so we can't get so caught up in the noise that we forget what God said. Isaiah chapter 31, verse number 4. For thus says the Lord to me, as the lion or the young lion growls over his prey, against which a band of shepherds is called out, and he will not be terrified at the voice, nor disturbed at their noise. So will the Lord of hosts, who comes down to wage war on Mount Zion and on its hill. He says, look, when the lion is focused on what he's getting ready to do, it doesn't matter how much noise is going on around him. He's going to stay focused on what he said. See, we can't get distracted by all of the noise, by everything that's going on. Well, listen, God, you told me to go on a mission. We just prayed for missions. But you know what, God? I don't think you knew that there was going to be wars going on that continent in the time. Now, it's on the other side, but God, I don't think you knew that this stuff was going to be taking place when you asked us to go. So I'm going to go ahead and withdraw myself from doing what you asked me to do. Because, see, the noise says, then I need to stay home. Maybe God's calling you to step out into a new ministry, but the noise of how your body feels is saying, look, you're not going to feel good if you put yourself out there. See, the noise will get so loud that we get distracted and we forget that if God said it, so be it, it is done. See, there's always going to be noise. You know, I was talking to my assistant earlier today, and I was talking to her about what took place, and we all know what took place in 2020, right? It's like one of those things, I'm like, is it okay to bring up 2020 again? Because I don't like talking about it, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to talk about it again today, and we're all aware that it was a time that we would all like to forget. But there was a lot of noise that was taking place, and I'm not here to say one way or another, listen, people died. There was a very real thing. The sickness was taken off, and there were people that were put at risk all the time. And so I'm not here to take one side or the other. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to talk about a specific thing. See, I remember during that time our food distribution was going, still going. And so we kept our doors open, never once shut down, not one day, during all of 2020. And everybody was saying, listen, you guys got to close down. Because if you don't close down, people are going to get sick. And if you decide to stay open, then what you need to do is you need to do a drive-through. And everybody needs to be spaced out. And you can't allow people. Because people won't show up if there's sickness going on. I just looked at the numbers today. We gave out over 10 million pounds of food, feeding over a million people in 2020. Listen, can I tell you something? The noise says stop doing it. God says continue to do it. We listen to God and he provides the resources to do what he said. See, we can focus on the noise or we can trust in what God is telling us. There's always going to be noise. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people that are going to try to discourage you. There's always going to be people that are going to try to throw you off. There's always going to be people that are going to try to tell you that you will never amount to anything. Listen, stop listening to the noise. Do what God has asked you to do, and you will see his results in your life. The second thing that we're going to talk about is that we have to understand that trusting in him means casting out our trust in the world. You know, it's funny, as I was thinking about this today, I was thinking, remember when we were little, each and every one of us, we had our blinky, right? Maybe some of you guys were a binky kid. And we found our security in that blinky and that binky. And we think that when we get older, we grow out of it. But the binky becomes maybe a pack of cigarettes. Sorry. Is that okay to talk? Because we find our security and our comfort in the things of this world. We say, well, listen, you don't understand. I know God is calling me to different things, and I'm not here to bash you. Listen, you go home and you have a glass of wine every night. That's between you and God. I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong. But see, here's where you're wrong. If you say, well, I need it to unwind. I need this every night when I get home because it takes the edge off. This is my comfort. This is my binky. This is my blankie. We don't understand now that weed's legal. You know, just taking a couple putts, it takes the edge off. There's so much going on in this world. Well, listen, I understand that the sexual desire, listen, I shouldn't be doing it, but it takes the edge off. See, we can say, well, I'm at church every single week. I trust him in every aspect of my life, but there's certain idols that we're unwilling to get rid of. There are things that we're saying, listen, I'm going to hold on to this. And I'm not going to let it go. Well, you might say, well, I don't do any of those things, Brian. You know, I think it was like probably mid last year. I found myself kind of not feeling all that good. I was tired a lot. And I'm like, God, what is going on with me? I don't feel good. He's like, look at your diet. Now, I went and I used to be like crazy strict with my diet all the time. As you can see, I've gotten a little less strict in my older age. But I was crazy strict with my diet all the time. And God says, look at your diet. You've been finding comfort in food instead of in me. See, I'd get home from work and I was tired and I was stressed and I had a lot going on. And so I just wanted a bag of chips. And it wasn't a fun size. They put air in those things. Come on. You argue too. It ain't that full. But I'd sit there and I'd eat a whole bag of chips. Before I know it, it's gone. I'm like, man, why is this bag? I'm laying down eating. I'm like, why is this bag getting further away from my mouth? It's just growing. But see, we find comfort in the things of this world instead of the things of God. We say that we trust him in every aspect, again, of our life. But do we lock in? Do we get focused? Do we grab a hold of him? Do we say, listen, I'm going to run away from the things of this world, and God, I'm going to come head first, all in. I'm not going back. I'm moving forward. I'm going to give everything I have, and I'm going to leave nothing on the table when I get to heaven, and I'm going to say that I did everything I could. See, it's time to get rid of the things that are holding us back. I'm going to go back to Isaiah chapter 31, verse number 6 through verse number 7. It says, return to him from whom you have deeply defected. He says, you've walked away. You chose by going and turning to someone else other than to the Lord. You've defected the Lord. You've walked away from him. You've decided that he wasn't enough. Is that crazy to think about? When the natural thing would say, they're a bigger army, I just need their help. But what we're saying is, they're not enough. God's not enough. That's what we're saying. See, we turn too quickly to the things of this world and say, this is what I need. He says, you've defected, you have deeply defected, O sons of Israel, for in that day, see, the day that you make the decision to come running back to the Lord, in that day, every man will cast away his silver idols and his gold idols, which your sinful hands made for you as sin. He said, look, it's not about the wood. It's about what the wood represents to you. Is this thing bigger? Is this what you're looking for? See, we burn sage in our house and we say, this is what's going to give me comfort. This is what's going to calm me down. Are you looking for something other than God to give you rest in your home? It's not about the material. God made sage. It's about where we elevate it. We say, this is what I need because God isn't giving me what I need. See, we've lost focus. We've lost track. Our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. And then we wonder why we're not getting the results that he promised us. We say, God, I want these results in my marriage. He says, well, this is the way that you do it. You say, well, I want to continue to invite these things into my marriage. He says, well, then you're going to end up having a broken marriage. Well, God, I don't want a broken marriage. He says, then stop defecting me and come running back to me and do marriage my way. And if you do marriage my way, I'm going to take care of you. See, God's told us how he satisfies a marriage between a husband and a wife. Not between a video or a picture or a magazine. That ain't how he does it. It's not in his word. So if we're fighting with our wife, and we can't figure out why, or we're fighting with our husband, but we're inviting other things into our marriage, I can tell you why. Because you're doing it your way. Holding on to idolatry, because that's what it is, and saying, listen, I need this in my life more than I need God. God says, throw that aside and come running to me. You know, I read this story earlier, and it took place. It says, in April of 1988, the evening news reported of a photographer who was a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with numerous other skydivers and filmed the group as they fell and opened their parachutes. On the film, it shows a telecast. As the final skydiver opens his chute, the picture went berserk. The announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without his parachute. It wasn't until he reached for an absent ripcord that he realized that he was free-falling without a parachute. Until that point, he jumped, probably seemed exciting and fun, but tragically, he acted with thoughtless haste and deadly foolishness. Nothing could save him, for his faith was in a parachute that was never buckled on. See, we put our faith in God, but we never strap in. We don't invite him to come along for the ride. We want him to be somewhere out there in case I call upon you. God, can you just leave your phone on in case I need you? I'll call you. But otherwise, if I don't call you, go ahead and have a good night. I'll check in tomorrow. See, God is saying, look, if you want me as your source, if you want me as your protection, if you want me to be there when you need me, then you're going to have to strap in. You're going to have to be wearing me. You're going to have to wrap yourself and robe yourself in my character, in my goodness, in my word. You're going to have to be there with me. Listen, don't do life yourself and then expect me to be there when you rip the cord. Invite me along. Have me come alongside of you. If we want the godly results, we need to do it God's way. The last thing that we're going to discuss tonight is that we need to understand that God has a different way of getting things done. Can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, this happens all the time. It's like, again, here we go. We say, okay, God, I need to get healed. So I'm going to go to the doctor. I need this doctor. He's going to be available. They're going to run these tests. They're going to see this come up. Then all of a sudden, you're going to heal me. I'm going to go. This pastor's going to pray for me. This is going to happen. Everything's going to take, you know, it's going to go the way that it's supposed to go. Make this happen. God says, that ain't the way it's going to happen. You're going to go and you're going to see this doctor. I don't want to see that doctor. Well, this is the doctor that you're going to go. I mean, this is the way every single one of us find ourselves in life. We have a plan. And God looks and goes, that's funny. That's how you think it's going to map out as we're trying to put together our plan. Maybe you're not like me. Sometimes I lay in bed, I think of the plan. And I come up with every chance, like, dude, if this happens, I'm going to do this. And if this happens, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to have this ready and this ready and this ready. And God says, okay, I just need you to be ready. Because I'm getting ready to do something. See, we have our plans, but God guides our steps. If we put our trust in him and understand, it may not be unfolding the way that we want it to. But we ought to know that God is still in the midst of it. See, it may not be unraveling the way that we expect it to unravel. But God's not going to do it through your strength or my strength. He's not going to do it through your knowledge or my knowledge. He's not going to do it through your expertise or my expertise. That's not how he's going to do it. You want to know why? Because then you get the credit. And God's not looking for you to get the credit. You know, I shared a couple months ago when I preached, I can't remember, but I shared with everybody, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but I've been in the process of cleaning up. Everybody knows I've been to jail, and I had things happen in my background, and so I've been in the process of cleaning up my record, doing everything I can to get all of my rights back. And, you know, in my mind, to be honest with you, when all of this first started to unfold, and you can even ask Chaplain Paul and I have had this conversation, I understand I've been justified in Christ. I understand that I've been redeemed. I know that all things have been new. But I also know I made a lot of stupid mistakes. And so there were areas in my life that I thought, these things I'm never going to be able to do because of the poor choices. And I was okay with that. I mean, in my mind, if this is what has to happen, I'm the one that made those choices. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe him. I want these things to take place. But if it doesn't happen, I'm okay with it because, again, I'm the one that made the choices. So I was getting ready for court, and my wife and I were driving to work together, and I'm going to my last day at court. Now, can I tell you, the court itself was not going the way that I expected it to go. I mean, it should have been wrapped up the first time I went. And now this is the fifth time I'm showing back up, the fifth and final time. The good news is this time, I got some good news. I got the answer. There's no way. All I got to do is tell them, look at this, and they have to overturn it, their decision. I mean, it's done. And so we're getting ready. My wife and I were driving to work, and I'm driving, and so she's sitting alongside. I hand her. I'm like, hey, I printed this thing out. I'm going to use it for the judge. But here, I have a screenshot of this one section where it's highlighted. I need you to find it on this piece of paper and highlight it. And she says, okay, so she's going through, reads through. It's like, it's 84 pages. So she reads through it, goes through, and she doesn't find it. She's like, I think you printed the wrong one. I said, I didn't print the wrong one. You need to read it again. She's like, Brian, I'm getting sick. I'm like, Melissa, come on. I see you on Instagram. You could read. So she starts going through it again. It's not there. I'm like, it's there. I'm telling you it's there. Does the top say this? No. Did you print the wrong one? I don't think so. I did. I printed the wrong piece of paper. I was so determined that I was going to prove her wrong. We got to work. I was almost late to court because I'm like, I'm going to read through this. I was wrong. I printed the wrong one. So she tells me, she goes, I said, can you just look through it one more time? She says, no. We're going to pray. See, I had a plan how this was going to unfold. So we pray. Because see, this time I go to court, it's my turn. I haven't been able to speak yet. So they get to hear me. I get to defend myself. I get to defend the things that they're saying about me. So she prays and she goes, God, let this work out the way that you need it to work out. Not by his ability, but by your ability. Make it happen in a way that only you can make it happen. Done. We pray. I drop her off. I go to court. I come walking up the stairs. I run into a couple of the officers that were on the opposite side of my case. And they said, hey, you're Brian. We talked for a little bit beforehand. I thanked them for their service and everything that they do to keep our family safe because I appreciate our officers in blue and everybody who risks their lives every single day to take care of us and keep us safe. So I walk over, I shake their hand, and I tell them, thank you for your service and everything you do to keep us safe. I walk away. I come walking back by a little bit later, and they said, you're Brian? I'm like, oh, man. Yeah, I'm Brian. They said, we're here for the same reason. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, that's cool. And they said, we just want to let you know that we're here to approve you today, that we decided to go back and look through everything with fresh eyes, and we see who you really are. See, I didn't have to defend myself. I didn't have to plead my case. It didn't pan out the way that I felt that it needed to pan out. But God had it turn out the way that he wanted it to turn out. And you know what the cool thing about all of it was? The officer even told me, he says, you know what? Through all of this, because there's good sides to all of it, and we've had many conversations. Why is all this happening 25 years later? But see, God had a plan. And he was getting ready to speak to somebody. You know, sometimes there are people that live in a different world. See, I told him, I said, look, I didn't see things the way that you saw them because I live in a bubble, my church bubble, my friends and my family, the people that I talk to that know me, that trust me. And so I see things a little bit differently than you. He says, well, I live in a bubble too. The bubble I live in, people like you say these things, but this is what they really are and this is what they really do. And so now, because of all of this, there are things that took place in the process of all of this that I'm changing in my life to make sure that nobody ever thinks the things that this man thought again. But the cool thing is he says, and now when I look at people, I will not just see with what I see on paper, but I will do the due diligence to make sure that I find out who the person truly is, because you're not a bad person. See, we don't know what God is getting ready to do. If he wants to touch the life of somebody, if he's going to drag you along through some uncomfortable times, if he's going to make it a little bit discouraging for you and you're so frustrated, God, why is this not happening? If he needs to use that situation to touch the lives of someone else, then God, use me. Get me a little bit uncomfortable. Make it a way to where, listen, if I gotta go through this so that you can get the glory, then God, use me. See, we're afraid of getting uncomfortable. But, you know, it's crazy to think, you know, Pastor Diego talked about it this last week, and it's like the things that we used to do in the world that we wore as a badge of pride, the dumb stuff that I used to do that I thought I was oh so great, because I did all of these dumb things. But then all of a sudden now we get a little discomfort in the world, or in when we're surrendered to God, and we think, well, God, why am I having to go through this? Everything's supposed to go smooth. He says, listen, it's not always going to go smooth, but it's always going to be worth it. I'm going to read through Isaiah 31, verse number 9. He says, and the Assyrian army will fall by a sword, not of man. And a sword, not a man, will devour him. So he will not escape the sword, and the young men will become forced laborers. His rock will pass away because of panic, and his princes will be terrified at the standard, declares the Lord, whose fire is on Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. He says, look, I'm going to take out that army, and it's not going to be with a sword that you can wield. It's not going to be with the weapons that you can hold on to. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to handle this army for you. I'm going to wipe them out because I'm doing something. I need you to understand that I'm reaching a people that's far beyond you. And all I need you to do is trust in me. You don't need another army. You need me. You don't need to focus on somebody else's strength. You need to focus on my strength. You don't need to focus on somebody else's horses. Listen, you need the Spirit of God to move through you. You need my hand going to war for you. You need the furnace of the King moving on your behalf. Listen, all you got to do is put your trust in God and know if he said it, he will do it. But we got to stop looking at somebody else's army to handle God's problems. God is going to take care of what he said he's going to take care of. All you got to do is put your trust in him. Greg Moeller says this. He says, faith does not operate in the realm of possibility. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins when man's power ends. See, when you get to a place where you're all out of words, where you're all out of resources, where you're all out of control, and you're all out of strength, you burn through all of your energy and every thought and every motive that you can come up with, God says, okay, are you ready to let me handle this now? You've done everything you can. Now sit back and watch. I'm getting ready to move. I'm going to show the world just how powerful I am. See, the struggles of this world are going to be real. And go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter number 31. Here's David. He's going through some hard times in his life. And again, we can get so wrapped up in the sicknesses and the challenges and what people are saying about us and the things that are discouraging or frustrating in our lives. And these things can become so big. And here in Psalms chapter 31, verse number 9, he says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all of my adversaries, I become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on my side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life." That seems pretty rough. Have you ever felt like that? You ever feel like no matter how hard you swing, they just hit harder? No matter how much you try to defend, they got something else to say. No matter how hard you try, they're just going to grind you down and grind you down and grind you down a little bit more. Verse number 14. "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." See, we have to understand that God has everything in control. We are in his hands. He is protecting us. He is caring for us. He is providing for us. He is healing us. He is doing everything his word says. Let's get our eyes fixed back on him and know that he's going to take care of every aspect of our life. Did you get something from God tonight? It's too easy to get focused on the things of this world. It's time to recalibrate. Now, everything that we talked about are promises for his children. You know, even as Isaiah was saying, you've been putting your trust somewhere else, but it's time to run back to me. It's time to stop avoiding me. It's time to surrender to me. And if you do, I'll take care of your enemies for you. You don't have to do life on your own. But first, we need to make sure that our eyes are focused on Jesus. First, we need to make sure that we have surrendered to him. And I want to make sure today that everybody in this room has surrendered their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Because how sad it would be if we get pumped up, if we get excited and we say, "Lord, I'm going to trust in you." But we didn't trust him with our salvation. We didn't trust him with all of our heart and all of our life. See, again, so many times we say, "Lord, I want to do it your way." He says, "Surrender to me." And we're like, no, you know what? There's got to be another way. "God, I want your results. Surrender to me." No. You need to get on the same page with me. "Lord, I come to church every single week. I read my Bible. I talk to friends about you. I have conversations sometimes at work. I'm here tonight. I volunteer once in a while. I do my part." He says, "Yeah, there's a portion of your life that you have surrendered to me, but not all of your heart and all of your life." Because we give him an hour and a half out of our week, we feel like we deserve a pat on the back as if we did something. God's not looking for an hour and a half out of your week. He's looking for all of your heart, all of your life. 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. Does that mean you're just going to sit in a church building all of your life? Well, we'll kick you out. You don't get to stay here all night. But listen, your relationship with Jesus shouldn't end when you walk out of these doors. Get on the freeway. And so I want to make sure today that you actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because again, you could say, "Well, listen, I was raised in church. So was I. I grew up going to church, ended up living my life, doing my own thing, doing drugs, sticking needles in my arm, and if I would have died with a needle in my arm, I'd be in hell right now. That's the truth. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I had a head knowledge of who he was. I thought as long as I didn't curse his name, we'd be good. I don't believe in him, but I'm not going to say anything bad about him, just in case. He'll say, well, you know what, Brian, you were still, you know, even though you sold drugs and you did all this stupid stuff, it's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you because you never said anything bad about me. You showed up to church once in a while. It's not how it works. If I would have died, I'd be in hell. So many times we live our lives, we think, well, listen, I do all the good things. I'm nice to my neighbor. I don't get in trouble at work. I don't steal. I don't cheat on my wife or my husband. I don't do anything bad. I'm a good person. God says, look, I'm not looking for you to just be a good person. I'm looking for you to be my person. So are you going to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, being born again, entering into the family of God, no longer living your life for yourself, but fully surrendered to Jesus Christ? I want to invite you to an opportunity today to say yes to him. Because how sad it would be if we get out of this place, patting ourselves on the back. I sat through, if I can endure Pastor Brian, I can endure anything. I did good. I sat through a whole church service. I listened to that loudmouth person all night long. I'm going to go home. I did my part. We get in a car accident, and listen, you listen to me for nothing. Wouldn't that suck? Because you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when you died, you went to hell. How sad it would be if that were the case. Well, you don't understand. I volunteered last Sunday. I did all of the right things. Again, I was raised in church. Everything that I was supposed to do. You know, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus. He did everything right. Knew the Word of God. Spoke the Word of God. Declared the Word of God. He was better than every single one of us in this room. He says, Jesus, what do I need to do to get to heaven? He says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He says, I don't understand what that means. I'm an old man. I can't climb back into my mother's womb. He says, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand. What's born of the flesh is flesh. You need to die to yourself in the spirit and be born in the spirit. Surrendering all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. See, maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, listen, I've given a portion of my life to God. But I got a whole bunch of idols I'm still holding on to. Things that I'm not ready to surrender yet. I'm here to tell you, there is nothing in this world worth holding on to that can keep you from going to heaven. I want to encourage you today. Throw that thing aside and come running to Jesus Christ. I want to give every single person an opportunity. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. Not sure today, let's make sure today. I'm speaking to you. Or maybe you were the prodigal son. Maybe you surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ and you went back living your life your own way, doing your own thing. And you're saying, well, look, I was told once saved, always saved. That's life from the pit of hell. Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. You got to stick this thing out. Bible says, run in a way to win that race. You're in a race right now. Are you running in a way to win? Are you putting it all on the line for Jesus Christ? If not, I want to give you an opportunity. So in a moment, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Clap my hands together like this. If you've been running from God instead of to God, again, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. Not sure today, let's make sure today. Or maybe you need to come back to Jesus Christ. I see your hand. We're going to do it all together. All right? Won't embarrass you. You might be saying, well, listen, Brian, if I raise my hand in this place, I'm going to be embarrassed. You may feel embarrassed. Who cares what somebody else thinks of you? I mean, I'm standing up in front of you today. I can tell you right now, this isn't something that I get excited about doing all the time, but at the end of the day, listen, I care more about what God says than I care about what you think. Are you willing to be a fool, a spectacle for Jesus Christ? Because this is safe and friendly. You're going to hear people clap, excited, rejoicing because you made the best decision of your life. Then you're going to go out there in the world and you got to do it at the gas teller, the bank clerk, your family members, getting ready to be 4th of July, be hanging out at the pool, having to stand up for righteousness in Jesus Christ, your friends. Listen, if you can't do it in a safe and friendly place like a church, you'll never be able to do it out there in the world. So I want to give you an opportunity. If you know if you were to die today, you wouldn't make it to heaven, or you're not sure, when I count to three and clap my hands together, I want to see you raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Let me see your hands. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else today? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? I see hands pointing over here. I see your hand in the family room over there. Praise God. Anybody else today? If you're not sure, let's make sure. I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Amen. I feel like there's a couple more. I'm going to wrap up here in a moment. But if you're sitting there tonight and you're getting a little riled up and you're saying, man, I just wish this would end. I just want to get out of here so I can feel comfortable. Check your heart. Because if you're feeling uncomfortable by the things that I'm saying, that means that you need to get right with God. So I'm going to go through the sanctuary one more time. If you need to raise your hand, just get it up. If I didn't see your hand, and you want to raise your hand. Anybody else? Now? I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. I see your hand. Praise God. Well, let's give God a hand, giving him all the praise, honor, and glory. So here's what we're going to do. As the lights come up, everybody's going to stand. If you said, I'm going to surrender all of my heart and all of my life to Jesus Christ, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come up here to the front of the altar. Listen, what we're going to do is I'm going to pray with you. I want to shake your hand. I want to meet you. I want to offer you some free stuff. But listen, we can sit in our seat and say, no, I want to do it my way. Again, listen, if we want God results, we got to focus on God's way, all right? So if you said you wanted to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just get out of your seat real quick and come up here to the altar so that I can meet you and shake your hand.
Come to the altar.
Best decision of your life. The decision that you made today is the first step to following Jesus Christ and everything that he asked you to do from this moment forward. It's not going to be easy. I can promise you that. But I can also promise you if you do it, it'll be worth it. God wants to do some amazing things. You make a mistake, dust it off, continue to move forward for the things of God. I'm not here to tell you that today is the last day you'll ever make a bad decision in your life. I made one Monday playing pickleball with my wife. Did something stupid. Thought it would be funny, and man, I got in trouble. So you're going to make some mistakes. All right? Don't focus on the mistakes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you could repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you because of your shed blood. We can now say that we're born again, that we're headed for heaven, denying hell. So come, Holy Spirit, come into my heart, come into my life, guide me and direct me, motivate me and encourage me, teach me that I can be all that you've called me to be. I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to do life all by myself, but I can trust in you, not looking for Egypt to help me, to defend me, to give me strength, but looking to you, Lord, the author and finisher. So from this day forward, I submit my trust to you, and I declare that I'm a Christian, headed for heaven, denying hell, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to do one more thing. This is Pastor Joel, to my right, your left. Here's what he wants to do. Remember, he said we're going to give you something free. He has a couple things he wants to give you, and then he's going to send you back out here with your friends and your family. So go ahead and make a left-hand turn and follow Pastor Joel. Man. Are you guys ready to get focused on what God has for you tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to look at what's going on around us. We just have to know what your word says and know what you're going to do through us. So right now, we declare your promises on each and every one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you, blessings, you will bless us, and multiplying, you will multiply us like the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. We thank you, Lord God, that you're going to take care of each and every one of us, that you're going to provide for all of our needs. We just say on purpose and out loud also that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Thank you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you guys this weekend.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.